Dear friends, we gather this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation.
May we always dwell in this land with respect and peace.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Let us ask God's forgiveness. For the hatred which divides nation from nation, race from race, class from class. The covetous desires of people and nations to possess what is not their own. The greed which exploits the work of human hands and lays waste to the earth. Our envy of the welfare and happiness of others. Our indifference to the plight of the imprisoned, the homeless, the refugee. The lust which dishonors the bodies of men, women, and children. The pride which leads us to trust in ourselves and not in God. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Let us pray. Gracious Father, whose blessed Son, Jesus Christ, came from heaven to be the true bread which gives life to the world, evermore give us this bread, that he may live in us and we in him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Une lecture du livre de Josué. Et le Seigneur dit à Josué, « Aujourd'hui, j'ai roulé loin de vous l'opprobre d'Égypte. » Et l'on appela ce lieu du nom de Gilgal jusqu'à ce jour. Les fils d'Israël campèrent au Gilgal et firent la Pâque au 14e jour du mois, le soir, dans la plaine de Jéricho. Et ils mangèrent des produits du pays, le lendemain de la Pâque, des pains sans levain et des épis grillés en ce jour même. Et la manne cessa le lendemain quand ils eurent mangé des produits du pays. Il n'y eut plus de manne pour les fils d'Israël qui mangèrent de la production du pays des Canaan cette année-là. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
You saw me with shouts of delight. Reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. From now on, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
May God be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling, saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He is lost, was lost, and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of Christ.
Thank you.
I speak of the love of God who finds us and brings us home. Amen. Does God care what we're going through? Does God care what you go through? I think people have asked this in every generation since Jesus. Because if God doesn't care, why worship him? And many people will say they don't feel that God is present, and therefore God isn't present, and there's no God to care. But there have always been challenging times. We live in challenging times now. We live in worldwide challenging times. But even at a personal level, all of us have had challenging times. Congregations have challenging times. You may not be in a challenging time right now. Might not be so bad right now. But I'm sure you've had your own version of challenging times. And I think that's always been true. And that in the crowd listening to Jesus, there were people who knew what challenging times were. They probably had their own personal version, just like we have. But they also lived in worldwide challenging times, in the sense that they lived in a conquered place. They were a conquered people. They lived in communities that had high infant mortality rates, and they lived with diseases such as leprosy that had no treatment. The people who listened to Jesus lived in challenging times. And Jesus knew it. There was the time where he had spoken to the crowd, and he saw that they were hungry, 5,000 of them, and he, it says, felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Well, if you live in challenging times, a meal won't satisfy all your problems, but a meal would show that you're thinking about the person. That's probably why when we know someone who's sick, we bring over a meal. But Jesus also told stories to show people that God does care. God cares about you in your challenging times. Now, I have to say, as a personal reflection, that preachers love the hard texts. You get to be like Jacob wrestling with the angel when you have a hard text. You know, one like Jesus saying there's absolutely no divorce. I want to wrestle with that. Jesus says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Well, I want to wrestle with that one. Jesus says, I didn't come for peace, but for there to be conflict between mother and daughter and father and son. Well, do I ever want to argue with that one? I want to wrestle with the angel just like Jacob and find something good in that. But I have found that most listeners to the Bible prefer the great stories. And today we have one of the great stories. We have the story of a father and his two sons. And it's in enough detail that you can feel their pain. This is actually part three on a question: does God care about what we're going through? Jesus tells three stories that answer this. They are the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son. So these are really about God caring for us, but we've got it in picture language. So the woman loses her coin and she sweeps the house and she finds the coin. But if this is about God and us, well, a coin is an inanimate object. It did not get itself lost. I think of people who are powerless. They did not get themselves lost. They did not do that. It happened to them, but they did not do it. And God sweeps the house like that woman to find the powerless person. Now, a lost sheep has, you know, more agency than a coin, right? That sheep walked away. That sheep got sidetracked. That sheep now knows that it is not with the other 99 sheep. People do wander off track, and they can't find their way back. And if you try and imagine who those people are, I don't know, could be one of us. When I walk to church on Bank Street and I see the people who have had fentanyl, I can say, here are people who are not finding their way back. And what does the shepherd do? He leaves 99 sheep with no one to look after them. Like, what real shepherd would do that? To find that one lost sheep. To say that God cares so much for the one who has gotten lost, that God will go out of the way to find you. Now, the lost son brings it up even another notch. I mean, is it the lost son? Or is it the lost older brother? Or is it the lost father? Because you really can poke holes in this story. If this father is a stand-in for God, he's not a very good one. I mean, what father would agree to his son having the inheritance right into his lap, just like that? What father would never allow his son to have a party? And so we hear the older son's resentment. What father would do that? This is a family with some messes in it. But if God is like this father, maybe we have to use that word hyperbole, which is to say, if even this imperfect father loves his lost son, how much more does God love you and find you when you're lost? How much more would God do it if an imperfect father would do it? This youngest son, he has power over his circumstances. He's the one who decided to ask for the money. He's the one who decided to leave. He's the one who spent the money. And he's the one who now very rashly says, well, if I'm not going to eat what the pig food, what the pigs are eating, I'll just go tell my father I'd like a roof over my head and I'll be like a servant and he'll give me that. He doesn't even apologize. Did you notice that? He doesn't apologize. I wonder if we're ever like that youngest son and we're rebellious, does God come racing after us like the coin or the sheep? Or maybe God waits and lets us get rebelliousness out of our systems and then holds God's arms open when we realize rebelliousness was stupid. You might think that these are stories about forgiveness. They're not. There is forgiveness in that last story, but you know, the coin doesn't have anything to apologize for. The sheep doesn't. The son doesn't apologize. The setup at the beginning was people complaining that Jesus eats with sinners. And Jesus then shows them that God cares for everyone that loses their way. God is ready to welcome us back, even to go looking for us to carry us home. And what do we do with that? I want to suggest that we live in the glow of God's love. That when we recognize that we are lost, it's already a blessing because we've recognized it. We can now be like that young son going home. If you already know how it feels to be lost, maybe it's happened to you before, Maybe now you can tell other people how it was. And someone who's lost now will hear what you say and make their own first step home. So we can look over our lives at the times when we came back and God welcomed us. And we can look ahead to even better times because we know God sees us in that feeling of being abandoned and lost. We can be at peace because God loves you enough to find you and me enough to find me, and then puts us together to share the stories for the ones who are still lost. Amen.
Creator, provider, sustainer, we thank you that your love is for all and that in you we can love all. Thank you that you remind us in so many ways that we are your body. Open our eyes to be your hands to serve and your feet to go where there are needs we can meet and show your love. We pray for your blessing and strength in our lives, saying, Lord, in your mercy, and responding, hear our prayer. We pray for Shane, our bishop, Anne, our metropolitan and acting primate, and Chris, our Indigenous archbishop. We pray for Gary, Alan, Christina, Pat, Kimberly, Carrie, Jesse, Monica, Barb, and all who minister at St. John's. Sustain them and guide them as they lead us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort those in need of healing in their lives and in the lives of those they love. We stand with Alice, David, Inga, Peter, and Jack, and intercede with them on their challenges and needs. We remember especially those dear to us in need of healing and peace. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the nations of the world, especially for those locked in combat and where many people are suffering. Soften hearts and bring peace and justice to those desperate for both. Lord, in your mercy, in this time of economic uncertainty, draw us together to seek the hidden needs in our parish and communities, and empower us to show the love of Christ to all. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for our country, Canada, and for those who serve and lead nationally, provincially, and locally. Grant them wisdom and boldness in doing right. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the ministries of Belong Ottawa, especially at this time when want is felt so keenly. We pray for those without homes and the assurance of regular meals. We pray for the Centretown Food Bank. We pray for those in our parish and our community who are struggling with food insecurity and housing. Lord, in your mercy, we remember those who have died, and we pray for those who mourn them. Lord, in your mercy, we offer these prayers and those in our hearts, knowing that you care what we are going through and trusting that you will find us when we're lost. Amen.
Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. The blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and sustain you and keep you today and always. Amen. love and serve the Lord.